Welcome to the sermon podcast of Paoli Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by the Reverend Douglas Cornelius.
We are into our Lenten season officially this Sunday. It began this past Wednesday with our Ash Wednesday service. And so the next several weeks, we are going to be looking at passages from the gospel accounts that give us some insight into Lent. Mostly these passages are actually going to look ahead to the events of Holy Week. Jesus had a lot of teachings and a lot of encounters and events in his life that sort of looked forward to the cross and the resurrection. And we're going to be looking at some of those texts this week. I told folks when I came to the church several months ago that Lent is a big thing for me. I get into it. It's a big thing for me personally in my own devotional and spiritual life. I think it's a big thing in the life of the church. And some of you may be thinking, yes, Pastor Doug, I am right there with you. Lent has been a big part of my life as well. Some of you may be thinking, no, I've got bad memories of Lent. I remember Sister Mary Agnes, you know, waving a finger at all of us, telling us not to eat meat on Fridays, and I never understood why. And we may have some history with Lent that we don't love. Others of you may say, to be honest, I don't know what the big deal is. I barely know what it is. Some churches don't really observe the season very closely or pay much attention to it until you get to Holy Week. And so wherever you are today, I'm going to invite you into our Lenten journey this season, because I think today's text and the sermon that I will preach afterwards is sort of my apologetic for Lent, right? This is why it's important to me and why I think it can be important for all of us. So we're going to pick up in the Gospel of Mark, Mark's account, and this is going to be chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. So hear the word of the Lord. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, as I mentioned before, we are indeed in the Lenten season now and preparing our hearts, our lives, to hear the terrible and wonderful news of Holy Week and the joyful news of Easter. And we kicked off the Lenten season this past Wednesday night at a truly solemn and holy worship experience with our Ash Wednesday service. Of course, I know it was also Valentine's Day, and I recognized ahead of time that this may be a conflict for some folks, what to do. And I must say, you may have gone out on a Valentine's date instead of coming to church, but if you did, you missed out. Paoli Presbyterian Church was the place to be this past Wednesday. We had almost double the normal attendance that we've expected at a service like that. We had a good message, we imposed ashes, we celebrated the Lord's Supper. We had about 150 people, 150 of your friends here on a Wednesday night, and even more watching online. This was the place to be on Wednesday. But just in case you won't take my word for it, and you did go out on Valentine's Day, and you're now thinking, huh, maybe next time that this comes up several years from now, I'll have to rethink this. Maybe I'll have to come to church. Well, I've prepared something for you. Here they are, the top 10 reasons coming to our Ash Wednesday service was better than your Valentine's date. All right, here we go. Number 10, no reservations required at church. You don't have to compete with all the other folks going out on Valentine's Day and end up eating dinner at either 4 in the afternoon or 10:30 at night. We take walk-ins all year round. Number 9, no awkward silence, wondering what to talk about. Just sin and mortality. I know it's not romantic per se, but at least there's a prescribed topic. And some of you are thinking, I'd rather hear about sin and death than what my spouse was going on and on about anyway. If you're that couple, we have you covered here. Number 8, you could support our annual children's ministry budget for the cost of a dozen roses on Valentine's Day. I know that's a slight exaggeration, but not much. Husbands, you can skip the roses next time and say, honey, it's for the children. The pastor told me to, so men, you're welcome. Number 7, our food wasn't as tasty, but it was better for you. Yeah, we had communion. So that one's a little funny, but also I got kind of deep on you there for a second, didn't I? Number 6, wait staff expects 20 to 25% these days. Jesus only asked for 10. Remember when we used to tip 10% at restaurants, the good old days? Yeah, Jesus is still there. He lives there. If you're doing a tithe, you're doing great here. Next, number 5, you don't have to wonder if you'll get a kiss at the end of the night. You won't. We have strict policies against it. Jonathan and I will not be kissing members on the way out of the congregation, out of the way of that service. So we just remove that whole awkward tension from the night. That's good. Again, you're welcome. Number 4, we don't have any TVs with the game on, distracting your husband the whole time. Guys, you know you do this. Stop taking your ladies out to sports bars for Valentine's Day, okay? Number 3, you can sleep during Pastor Doug's sermon. Not a great idea in the middle of a date. That's both a little dating advice and also a reminder that here at Paoli Presbyterian, we encourage nap time. So, and just 2 more. Number 2, nothing says I love you like you're terrible, you're dying, and you need Jesus. Yeah, if your husband ever gets if you ever get angry at your husband and you think, oh my gosh, I could just kill him, no problem. Just bring him to church and the pastor will tell him he's going to die. Again, ladies, we're here for you. And finally, the number 1 reason to come to our Ash Wednesday service instead of on a Valentine's date, you had your boring date at the table, we had Jesus at ours. And there they are, the top 10 reasons. Thank you. I'd say I worked very hard on that. I did not. I'm having a little fun with it, right? But it was a very holy service here on Wednesday night, and I think meaningful for all those who attended. It certainly was for me. And it's the right way to begin the Lenten journey. We have to recognize our tremendous need for God and how bad the news is without God so that we can truly understand how good the news is with God. Now, Mark rushes us into Jesus' story here in chapter 1. There's no long, detailed birth account, no angelic visits or full motels, no shepherds, no wise men. We are rushed into Jesus' adult ministry. And here, just 9 verses into his gospel account, Mark has already taken us to Jesus' baptism and this wonderful moment where the Spirit of God descends like a dove upon Jesus. And we get these wonderful and hopeful and incredibly intriguing words. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. Now, no sooner have the warm and fuzzies of that moment hit our hearts than the Spirit, keeping up with Mark's furious writing pace, the Spirit immediately drives Jesus out into the wilderness. It rushes him off to do the ministry that he needs to do. And it's a shock to our system. The moment of loving hope, and then suddenly, immediately, we're into the wilderness. And for reasons we explored a few weeks ago when we talked about Moses and the Exodus, wilderness is not a very fun word for the Jewish people, for a Jewish reader reading Mark's account. Christ receives the blessing of the Father, the gift of the Spirit, and then is immediately driven into the wilderness. That's a frightening word for those who know the history. It's reminiscent of God's blessing to Israel, right? To intervene, to free them from slavery to Egypt, and then to suddenly rush them out into the wilderness. 40 years of wandering in the desert for Israel. And now Jesus, not coincidentally, does 40 days. And we could do a whole class on Jesus as the new Israel, or even better, Jesus as the Israel that Israel could have been, should have been. But for this sermon, it suffices to say simply that Jesus has his baptism moment. He is blessed for service and for ministry. He is equipped by the Spirit, and then 40 days. Immediately, 40 days of wilderness. See, Mark is a big fan of that word immediately. He's always rushing to the next story, but here, even in Mark's gospel account, we get a pause. Jesus pauses for 40 days to prepare. When I was in college and seminary, there were often advanced upper-level courses that I wanted to take, and when you were figuring out your schedule, you always had to look below the class offering, right? You always had to look for that all-important word there, prerequisites, right? What are the prerequisites? You want to take this upper-level Bible class? Well, you better have taken Bible 101 and Bible 102, and you need to already have Hebrew because the class will deal with the Hebrew text. And in your studies, in your field, maybe you had the same experience. If you want to do this course, you have to have already taken this other course, these other classes. Otherwise, you won't have the background. You won't have the foundation that's necessary to succeed in this class. You have to have been through the previous course, passed those tests, done the work, learned the ropes, and then and only then will you be ready to do the work that is required of you for this class. Jesus receives the blessing of God and is pushed immediately out into the wilderness by the Spirit. And there he is tempted by Satan, and he's with the wild beasts. And this story receives a more full treatment in some of the other gospel accounts, but for Mark, the mention of Satan and the wild beasts conveys two things: that Jesus is going through a spiritual trial and a spiritual preparation, and also a physical trial. And both are rigorous, and both are dangerous, both are unpleasant, but God has not abandoned Jesus. He's not abandoned him to his trial. Instead, the angels are there waiting on him. God the Father is a helper, even in the midst of his trial and preparation. And you see, Jesus must go through this. Jesus, the Son of God, must go through this. Jesus' ministry will be fraught with danger, disappointment, and difficulty. He will need every spiritual, physical, and emotional tool at his disposal to accomplish what he needs to accomplish. He will have storms to calm, healings to perform. The poor will be clawing at him for a blessing. The disciples will come at him with their questions. The Jewish leadership will be there with their fearful agenda, and Rome is there with its oppressive watch. He will have friends betray him, other friends abandon him. There will be a trial, there will be a torture, there will be a cross, and there will be a grave. See, this Messiah business that Jesus is about to embark on, this is an advanced class. This is an upper level course, even for the Son of God. This is the most difficult path. And Jesus enters the wilderness because the wilderness is a prerequisite. It's the course he needs to take, the path he needs to travel in order to succeed at the work that is laid out before him. Jesus' 40 days is the prerequisite. And that is why we have Lent. That's why we have Lent. Our Lent is our 40 days. If you take out the Sundays, as the church fathers decided to do, our Lent, our preparation, is our 40 days. And we do it because Jesus' preparation was 40 days. We often give up foods or give up some other comfort because Jesus did that too. He fasted. He gave up food. He gave up other comforts. Sometimes we take on devotion, like added prayers or a Lenten book study, as we're having here in our church, because Jesus dedicated himself to prayer, to fasting in his 40 days. See, we are just doing as Jesus did. And we do this because for us too, it's a prerequisite. It's the road that we need to walk to prepare for the good news of Easter and to be sent from that day of resurrection out into the world as if shot out of a cannon, ready to minister as our Savior did. It's the course we need to take to understand this upper level stuff. And so for 40 days, we pause. And we wait on God. And we fast. And we pray. And we read. And we prepare. And we dedicate ourselves to the God who is with us, even as we prepare. And we repent. And we believe. And we anticipate. And we attend to our 40 days of prerequisite, knowing that the kingdom of God is at hand. And having gone through the prerequisite, and then having heard that Easter morning news that is just several weeks away, that Easter morning news of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, we will be ready. We will be ready as a church, ready to see where the Spirit will rush us off to next. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we feel that every part of our lives runs at a furious pace sometimes. rushing from one thing to the next. And so we ask this Lenten season that you would help us to pause, to recognize our need for you, to prepare, to go through the prerequisite, that we may fully understand the goodness of Easter morning. Prepare our hearts even now to receive that grace and that good news in a fresh way this year. And as we seek to do your ministry in the world, we know that even as we pause to prepare, that you are still active and working with us, in us, through us, that your angels attend to us. Lord, we pray that as a church and as individuals within it, we may more fully understand your calling to us, where you would have us go, what you would have us do. Continue to shape us into the kind of people you would have us be. For in a world so full of hurt and in such great need of hope, we know that you alone can offer these things. You alone offer the healing, the promise, the goodness, and the peace that this world needs. So be at work in and through your church. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. For we do pray it in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and pray together the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.